Juego de fútbol ese domingo, ya merito, es 3 de mayo, en el campus fútbol en la esquina de Brooklyn Avenue y la ruta 9 a las 2 de la tarde. Esto va a ser básicamente una celebración por el trabajo que se hace este grupo, que es en justicia multilingüe, apoyando la creación o apoyando la promoción de la comunidad.
I'm sorry, I think I announced that event was March 3rd, but it was actually May 3rd. It's this Sunday. And then next Wednesday, May 6th at 4 p.m., there will be a lecture by the mayor of Chisinau, Moldova. It's going to be in the Fainson Room L324 at the Litauer building at the Kennedy School of Government in Cambridge.
Y finalmente, este miércoles 6 de mayo, a las 4 de la tarde, va a haber un evento presentando al alcalde de Chisinau, de Moldova. Esto va a ser en el cuarto Fine Sot, en el L324, en el edificio de Litauer, en el Kennedy School of Government, aquí en Cambridge. Those are some of the announcements.
Thank you, Froy. So, thanks for listening to our show today. If you have any comments, you can call us at 617-253-8810. And right now, we're going to listen to some music.
But before we listen to some music, we'd like to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT. We'll talk to you guys next Friday. We're going to listen to God Put a Smile Upon Your Face by Coldplay. Adios. Wait, Froy, do you want to say adios? Everybody say adios.
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 Hasta luego.
Adios.
Okay, bye.
Assalam.
Where do we go? Nobody knows. I've gotta say, I'm on my way down. God give me style and give me grace. God put a smile upon my face. Say I wasted all.
مرحبا في Music for Human. I'm a Dr. Jalis Sakran and I welcome you. Music for Human, for our primary listener, and by primary I mean the beginner among the listener, is New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you, which means that we take calls. I'm fortunate to be joined, as you are, by Professor Levine, Professor of Jewish Mysticism. Professor, welcome.
It's so wonderful to be back.
It's so wonderful for us to have you.
And it's wonderful for me to be possessed by you, by all the listeners.
And we can only be so honored to possess you. Strange, though, too, the choice of word there, which emphasizes possessions. It's strange that we naturally are inclined to such vocabulary. I wonder if it's a natural part of the human condition, or if it is part of the environment that we are in that makes it seem so natural to claim possession over things.
Well, I, of course, was referring to a spiritual possession, a shared possession, a non-exclusive, but rather an all-inclusive and all-embracing possession of my soul and my mind and my ideas. And in my view, this is the true meaning of possession. Possession shouldn't be focused on exclusivity and soul rights, but rather on mutual understanding and mutual sharing. The metaphor I like to use is that of a flame, mm-hmm. a candle. It's lit, and you can take any flame and any candle and use it to light another candle, and that flame passes along, but it yet remains in its source undiminished, and it can spread without any constraints or exclusivity. And I think the power of human thought plays a similar role. We can share our thoughts and our ideas and our spirituality with each other without losing anything. In fact, we ourselves gain when we share it. It grows stronger within us.
The light analogy, I think, is excellent. But I do wonder about the choice of word, like if in other cultures one would speak about possessing their own thoughts, you know, that that they are a possession that I have, that one could use a term like possession for as something so abstract and intangible as a thought. I mean, it's strange to think about possessing it, just as it's to me, just as it may be strange to you to hear about someone stealing your thoughts.
Well, of course, theft is the duality of possession, and it's sort of one doesn't come without the other. The ill of possession is reflected in the ill of thievery and robbery. And in a more spiritually enlightened world, possession would have an entirely different meaning. There'd be spiritual possession only, which means that no one is excluded. Everyone has access to knowledge and enlightenment.
Sort of, I think the flame analogy is particularly helpful there.
Yes, and you might know, I've mentioned this several times on the show before, that I'm personally opposed to organized economic activity. I believe that the sort of spiritually enlightened state of mankind is to be a hunter-gatherer, which involves no possession at all, no planning, and no restriction of resources, rather just finding the earth's bounty and, when in need of it, using it and in a symbiotic way and giving to it and sharing what one finds with one's kinsfolk.
Well, our operator is indicating that we have our first call of the evening, so let's see if we can connect. Caller, welcome to the air.
Evening, namaste.
Marhaban, caller.
Yes. I need some advice.
Well, we would be grateful if we were able to give it.
Me too. I've been listening to Music for Humans religiously, and I've really felt the felt improvement. And my name is Bill Blueblood, and I'm on the Board of Trustees at the Bank of America. And I had a particular problem at the board meeting, and I'd like to tell you about it and see if I can get some advice.
By the way, could you send my regards to Ken Lewis? He's a personal friend of mine.
Sure. We used to play golf back in the Enron days.
Before, we had a brief falling out, but before that, we had a spiritually meaningful relationship. I was his spiritual mentor.
Wonderful, wonderful. I know the crystals really helped him a lot, and sort of helped us all to relax a little bit. But well, it's you know, the circles really expand, you know, all over, and I'm just really grateful to, and I feel humbled to be a part of it as a, and I'm really a beginner, but I need some advice.
Well, we would only be so glad if we could help.
Okay. Well, I was at a board meeting, and one of the shamans that I had been developing is a relationship with an invisible friend that I keep in my pocket, and it was giving me spiritual advice and things, and helping me to adjust my breathing and so forth. And it was bored he was bored. It's not an it. It's definitely a male being. And so I set him down on the boardroom table, and he urinated, and it ruined a friend's of mine $2,300 pair of shoes.
Even though the urine presumably were invisible as well.
Well, it left stains on the shoes, and you know, it's kind of well known in the circle now and of the boardroom that I have this being with me, and so if any suspicious activity, he's been a bit mischievous like this, and I was wondering if there are any yoga positions that maybe I'm missing, because he's actually, I'm worried that he might get out of control.
Well, I'm not sure that a yoga position is something that would help here. My inclination is that there is some fundamental thing, there is some fundamental difference between some, you know, certain enterprises and financial enterprises and New Age enterprises. So maybe the word New Age enterprise is somewhat paradoxical. Let me briefly, by the way, for our other listeners, throw out the call-in number. It's 617-253-8810, and we have one line that is also open. Let's see if we can fill that in. Caller 2, you're also on the air.
Hey, I don't believe this guy has a secret friend in his pocket, right?
Well, Now,
that's not even one of those Hyde.
We'd also like to remind our listeners to please turn down their radios before calling in.
Do you know that secret funds don't exist?
Robert, could you please turn down the radio?
Oh, my radio is loud? Well, I don't think that's my radio.
I'm still here, but we're having some very unusual feedback situation here.
Yeah, and some people probably don't like my friends.
I think this feedback...
Yeah, let's have the cops watch this show. Whatever.
Caller,
we'll let up like Christmas trees, suckers.
Caller one, I think maybe you are the one with the radio there.
Yes.
What, suckers?
May I respond?
Suckers on what?
Let's
take popsicles.
No.
Popsicles, all types of popsicles.
This is very strange. Caller one, could you please turn down your radio?
Yes, it's off.
It's bizarre. We're having some strange feedback there.
I think it's maybe some spiritual interference with the equipment and the small friend. Now,
returning to the point that Robert brought up, this idea of an imaginary friend is a useful abstraction, and one can begin to human beings are sort of hardwired with an ability to think about a person's reactions to their actions. So you commit some action and someone else might have a reaction, and it is difficult to impose upon yourself an ideal without imagining some person's reaction. The reaction will help you enforce an ideal upon yourself. So very early in human history, people began to invent imaginary friends in order to help themselves and one another enforce these ideals, because you know, you might become angry with your mother and so eat a pound of chocolate chip cookies to ruin your appetite, perhaps for several days, but because perhaps your mother took away, your iPod or some similar device. But the imaginary friend will never do these things, and so it's a useful abstraction. And at least it was believed so, until it was discovered that these imaginary friends could also, that given enough thought time in your brain, they actually became real.
Well, exactly. And we at Bank America choose not to call him, or my imaginary friend, or invisible friend, imaginary or secret. But we call him invisible because most of the time he is invisible, although all the other board members can see him. And he interacts with all the board members when we're, having our meeting. And it makes our work a little bit more playful as we're deciding to do what our targ money.
Mm.
And as a matter of fact, we took the entire staff of Columbia University Department of Psychiatry on a cruise, and they evaluated all of us psychiatrically, and they actually deemed the and we had a few physicists, and they actually deemed the mostly invisible friend as real.
Mm. Well, that's very interesting. And in my own exploration of this topic, I believe that it's important to bring in more voices to discuss it, so perhaps we could bring in another caller.
Let's bring in one of our waiting callers. Caller, are you on the air?
Hello, Dr. Jollis.
Oh, I believe this is Aurora.
Yes, it is. Namaste.
think we are experiencing some very unusual feedback there. Let's try again. I'm sorry, I'm going to experiment. Let's see, our engineering is suggesting that we put one of our callers on hold, so please stay on the line.
Unfortunately, our engineer is himself an invisible friend.
Aurora, are you there?
I am here, yes. How are your journeys?
The journeys are well. Where have they taken you, Aurora?
I am currently in the vicinity of the Dead Sea.
The vicinity of the Dead Sea. The muds of which are a balm upon the skin, as I'm aware, for the transdermal mediation crowd, it is well known that these sands are extremely beneficial.
Yes, definitely. Actually, it's quite well known in the area of the Dead Sea. There are currently, at any given time, you can see naked young men rolling in the mud, trying to cure their various ailments from psoriasis to acne, you name it. This mud is just amazing.
Now, I've heard that the Dead Sea has made a mockery of many prominent mob figures in the East. They would attempt to sink a body that they wish to dispose of in the sea, and the body would just float up at the top, and it would lead to their capture.
Yes, this caught me by
CIA
surprise.
Too. It's not just the mafia. It's embarrassing everybody.
Yes, I was attempting to float upon the Dead Sea in order to meditate upon.
It appears we lost our caller there. Let's try again. Caller one, are you still there? Caller one?
Yes, I was wondering, because it's interesting to hear Aurora's voice, because she's been a part of our journey towards wholeness, and I was wondering if it was possible that she could give me some sort of a reading about my friend is named Max.
Hmm. Well, caller, just one moment, please. We, in fact, lost Aurora just now. Let's see if we can bring her back. Aurora, welcome back.
Thank you. I believe there are forces in the area that are attempting to keep me from spilling the secret.
And is caller one still with us?
I am.
Excellent. So it seems that
Max is actually here with me. He's kind of looking at the phone and curious and being very, very mannerful and attentive.
Excellent. So Aurora, if there is a way that you could see to giving us some sort of reading.
I'm sorry?
If you could see somehow to giving us a sort of reading on this, on Max.
Max, I sense a presence, but the mind is not human.
Caller one?
Yes.
So,
We're listening.
Oh, you're able to hear Aurora.
Yeah. Max can hear you, and I can hear you, but I don't think you can hear Max.
No, I cannot. I need a direction in order to feel out towards the two of you. Unfortunately, my tarot cards are missing in action at the moment. They have floated off into the Dead Sea.
Do you have another object that you could use to do a reading with?
I find that laying back near a body of water and allowing my hands to graze upon the surface of the sand or rocks, I can use whatever instruments nearby as long as I have a very strong focus. Is there a question that you wish to ask, Max?
Well, the situation is he's misbehaving at the board meetings, and it's something I can't control because he's rather a etheric, but he's become a real integral part of the board meetings he's asked for, but I'm responsible for his misbehavior, and I feel like it's an attunement with me, but you know, I'm on the phone here with Max, and you know, we're both trying to work this through now. You know, I for a while there I thought I gave him too much power, and then I thought, you know, maybe I'm not giving him enough power, and so, you know, it's kind of been a yin and yang about that. But quite frankly, I'm really over my head spiritually.
Well, I think I can provide some perspective on this issue of invisible, or as some skeptics say, imaginary friends. Now, I believe that this topic is intimately related to the question of the creation of souls. And we all know here that when someone's born, their soul is not created, but rather comes from a previously existing soul. Now, the only way that a soul is now created is by hiving off, dividing, the same way bacteria reproduce, cell division, soul division. And the creation of an imaginary friend is initially a splitting of the ego. And it goes by steps and in a process. At first, it's a partial split in the consciousness, in the ego. And eventually the result can be sometimes an entirely new soul that can then inhabit its own body in a later life, or the body of an animal, perhaps.
Is this a... If I were a woman, could Max become an Immaculate Conception?
Well, it's more like Immaculate Soul Division. Immaculate Conception, I think the idea is that the soul is a piece of God that came into the earth. In New Age spirituality, of course, we believe that all souls are divine and they share in the spark of divinity. And they're part of the eternal, unmoving whole of the universe.
Caller, I have a question.
Yes.
Do you have brown hair?
It's sandy brown, what's left of it. Not much gray, but just very, very, very thin, and just a lot of...
I've just reached out and with my spiritual hand and grasped a rock, which appears to have two peaks, but it is one at the bottom, and one half of it is a brownish sort of color. And the other half is a bit has reddish tinges to it. I believe that the reddish refers to Max. He's possibly a bit angry.
Let's experiment now,
yes.
Callers. If we can bring a third voice in, I'm not sure it's possible, but the engineer is.
It's amazing how I can just see. What Aurora is seeing, it's just absolutely astonishing to me how accurate it is.
Caller 3, are you there?
I just want to say that it sucks a big part of my spirituality, and I didn't even say any FCC words, and that wasn't my radio. Hello?
Oh, Robert, thank you. I'm sorry about the difficulty there. Our engineer... was having some difficulty with the telephone system.
He was distracted by a blinding spiritual light.
Or confusion. Either or.
But Robert, please know that we always appreciate your calls. I think that... Well, Robert, it's going well. The interesting thing here is that it seems that... we're always running into this problem with spirituality running against the financial system. And this idea, again, of New Age enterprise which I find very challenging to solve. Earlier today, in fact, I was in a New Age boutique where a man, much to my displeasure, was selling various talismans and rocks imbued with spirits and the blood of dead animals and so on. And I saw a middle-aged couple haggling with him, and he kept adding on other things. He kept suggesting a chain, a gold chain blessed by a guru and an ancient piece of amber that had a small fingernail in it, and so on. And I wasn't sure if I should step in and tell the couple, because the couple, they were very new to the New Age, and they weren't really aware that all of the stuff that he was pushing on them was just junk. And I wasn't sure if I should speak, and I'm curious to get the opinion of the callers on this question.
Well, I don't know exactly how to respond to you, but what came to mind was what Max was telling me. He said, well, if you don't like my behavior, why don't you get a hamster like a couple of the other board members bring hamsters in their pocket? And there's almost some jealousy, some etheric jealousy. I like hamsters, but I feel like this is more an attunement to my own being.
Color.
And I think the problem that you're describing, Dr. Shukran, is related to my problem, but I just haven't made the connection, and I think that's why I'm on the line. It's almost like I just want to fix this.
Caller, I believe that problem with Max is he feels as though he is tied down to you, as though you only speak to him because you are the only one who can see him and interact with him, and that makes him feel somehow less alive and less able to think on his own and act on his own. And he sees those with their hamsters, and the hamsters are not able to talk back. He believes he is not fulfilling you.
I have a suggestion. I had a friend in my pocket for quite some time, and then I just ate him so much that he jumped in my head all the time.
Well, my experience is that created Max. I think Max created me. So I'm this journey. I'm yearning for my own roots, because I think this invisible being, this tiny little invisible being that's generally cute and wonderful, is not a figment of my imagination, but I literally am a creation of Max's imagination. And this is very perplexing. And I try, I do most of the yoga positions. I put a circle of crystals around me, and every day it's the same thing. So, that's just, I don't think I'm being with this in a way of good enlightenment. I think this is kind of mediocre attempt at enlightenment on my part.
It's important for you to keep in mind that the rock that I drew had two equal halves. I do not believe that one of you came from the other. It's more symbiotic, more equal than that.
Somehow that the dual existences...
it's amazing.
Like an electromagnetic wave. So the one perpetuating the other.
Oh.
Wow.
This is amazing. It's so accurate.
Well... In the Jewish mystical tradition, there were many scholars who had a personal angelic agent who would appear to them in their dreams and in their waking hours, and would impart the deepest secrets of mystical wisdom to them.
Ah.
And it was considered a very special personal relationship, and I believe that this is just an advanced stage of the imaginary or the invisible friend, but it's beyond the point of a disruptive companion or a mischievous companion. And
yeah,
it,
I see. The best friend was so nice that, like, he didn't want to be mean at all.
Well, it's part of the problem is that one has to achieve harmony with your entire environment, which includes all parts of your ego and psyche.
Yeah, we're not supposed to get picked on.
It's probably not as complicated as I think, but I'm afraid that if Max were to get too excited, he might just wake up and I might vanish.
You think that somehow he has to focus in order for you to continue existing?
I'm pretty sure that happens because I found myself. I looked in the mirror one morning when I was shaving, and I wasn't there. And that was a little bit disconcerting, but it really didn't seem to make much difference because I could still get my clothes on and my suit on and was able to function. And another day that happened.
I'm sorry, my phone is running out of money. I need to go. But my thoughts are with you and my prayers are with you all.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Aurora.
And namaste.
Thank you for being
namaste.
With us, Aurora.
Well, thank you.
That being is probably more helpful to me than anybody I've talked to. And all of you have been extremely helpful.
Yeah, I agree, although I disagree with a lot of what you said. Hello? Oh, yeah.
Is caller one still with us?
Hello? Who's caller one? I just wanted to say I agree with a lot of what you said. You're helpful, although I disagree with you.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure that I agree with most of what most people say.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with myself, so, or my imaginary friend.
So that makes things, I think, somewhat difficult there.
Well, sometimes one achieves the most through opposition.
Indeed. Indeed. And is caller one still with us? So I think it's just you and I, Robert.
And of course, if any other listeners would like to join the circle of vibration, our number is 617-253-8810.
And for some bizarre reason, this evening our telephone system is permitting three callers, which is frankly unprecedented.
At least three.
At least three, yeah. Robert, how have you been? We haven't heard from you for many weeks.
I've been working a job at a standard corporate chain where we dole out drugs on Friday evenings, where I'm usually taking part in this show. It's a government-approved business, so everything's cool with the FCC.
Perfectly legitimate.
Yeah.
Selling acazomorphins.
Yes, muffins, yes.
Muffins.
Yes.
Casomorphins are actually the substance that is in cheese, which is very similar to morphine.
Mm. That makes people happy.
It does. It does, which is why people love cheese so much. And, you know, the word casomorphins, a casomorphin sounds very similar to the German word for cheese.
Part of our good old country that we've got going with those other countries.
Now, cheese, of course, is a particular instance of the process of organized food production and industrial agriculture, because cheese doesn't occur on its own in nature, but rather as a byproduct of directed human activity. Of course, it's milk that's been transformed through cultures into cheese. And in a natural human society, there would be no cheese. There would be simply milk. Milk, nuts, and wild berries.
Because this would be best for the cows and land?
Well, because there'd be no exclusive possession. People would take what they need from the earth and give to the earth what the earth needs from them.
I'm not sure I understand exactly, but you probably, pay attention to that.
Robert, I think this is the second time in the show that Professor Levine has mentioned this philosophy, this idea of every person possessing everything, in a sense, or possessing nothing. It's all a matter of the perspective.
The universal definition of possession, which is one that I adhere to.
Huh.
Well, Robert, it means that anything that I possess which has true value is something that can be equally possessed by another. And this shared possession only enhances my possession and my value.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you have a really brilliant idea about muffin production, you can share this idea with your corporate entity, and the idea still exists in your head.
Yeah, everybody owns muffins.
Well, I think, again, this idea of thought theft is particularly useful. It's an unusual idea that a person's thoughts can be stolen by blind people through the eye, but it's not an uncommon one. I know in my own culture that the khamsa is used, the khamsa, which is the inverted hand with the eye, and can be used to block the evil eye. I think it's particularly apt today because it is the 1st of May, the 5th month, and which is also called May Day, which means help me in French. So it's all tied together, you see.
Oh. Are you saying that the khamsa is basically a anti-piracy device?
I suppose that it could be used
or
as such.
Or a pro-piracy device.
It probably has been used on both sides of that particular battle. Like many talismans.
Well, this idea that thoughts can be owned or stolen is a very decadent and degrading idea, in my view. And this idea that we can attach our names to our writings, which is a pretty modern invention of the newspaper, that give bylines to the authors of the text. Now, I believe in an ideal world, in the future world, where spiritual enlightenment is more widespread. The only byline that could occur with a text would be the human mind or universal thought rather than a particular exclusive person.
I have a question. Do you think that universal thought is greedy in nature or by nature?
That we are naturally greedy?
Well, I mean, like kids, or dogs, if you eat, like eating and cheese and production of cheese and how many people we have on this earth, like, that's human nature, right?
Well, I think there is a dual view there. On the one hand, you can think about the evolutionary force of the individual, which is the idea that I must survive in order to pass on my genes, and so in order to do this, I must consume resources in spite of others. But then there is also the force of evolution of the group, so which says that Not only must I survive, I must also cultivate an environment for my progeny to survive, and this environment will be other members of my own species, and so I will not consume more resources than I need.
So you're saying there's two different types of going about being human?
That's right. So we have a natural drive to have concern for other members of our own species. Because
you sure those aren't just like your friend talking to yourself?
I think they are universal values for that reason.
Well, in the mystical Jewish tradition, all human character traits have a dual nature. They have their spiritually enlightened ideal form, and they have their degraded current form in the material world. And greed is no exception to this rule. Greed itself is a universal spiritual characteristic, which can be a positive force in the world. There's such thing as spiritual greediness, which is a desire to cultivate one's enlightenment and one's connection to the world. And this desire is not marked by exclusivity. Every stage of enlightenment that we reach is something that can be equally shared among others. So this kind of universal greediness is the true divine greediness.
That's very, very, a very unusual view. But there are similar views, I think, in Eastern, Far Eastern philosophies. Let's bring another voice into this. Caller 2, you are on the air.
Yes, this is Professor Juanita Richard.
Welcome, Professor Richard.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to let you know that we've experienced the phenomena of many of our thoughts being removed. At the biology department, we'll be experimenting, and we'll have electrodes on different animals and plants, and all of a sudden, all the thoughts we were thinking are gone, just totally gone. And I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate your delving into this subject.
So you have also experienced thought theft.
It's totally a regular phenomenon, and we've talked with the security guards in the security department, and they suggested that we start wrapping our heads with aluminum foil.
Well, I know that is a common expression of the truly paranoid, the idea that in order to prevent any influence from outside, one would wear a cap coated in aluminum foil and hope that it acts as a Faraday cage, preventing any electromagnetic radiation from entering your brain. But I think honestly that we are wired for particular types of input, and unless very, very large sources are around you, it's unlikely that they will have any effect on your thought processes. I think you should worry more about what you are seeing, hearing. Those are two inputs that are wired very closely to the brain.
Well, I was also told that if I wrapped my head several times with aluminum foil and put some crystals there, that I would be able to retain my thoughts better. But you're saying that you don't think there's any efficacy in this?
Well, I'm suggesting that it may be other mechanisms by which your thoughts are being stolen.
I would also propose the idea that the thoughts are not being stolen per se, but rather concealed within a deep compartment of the subconscious.
So in other words, they are being made to forget things that they know.
Right. And as Plato wrote, forgetting itself is not literally possible. Once one has knowledge, true knowledge can never be released, but it can be hidden.
Yeah, I recall that he had a view that was somewhat Jungian about universal knowledge.
Yes, he was quite young.
Gian.
Well, I noticed that when we were at a conference that the Swiss Federation had almost an exact duplicate or replica of any of the research that we thought we had done before we lost our thoughts.
So I believe this is called...
You know, I dropped chewing tobacco on the ground the other day and I thought it was soda. I just took off. It was awesome. I hope someone stepped in it. I didn't even mean to do it.
Well, did you notice
I was trying to catch a bottle.
See, that's...
Hunt and gather stuff.
It's one form of delving into the subconscious is to...
Like Easter.
Drop chewing tobacco on the ground and watch the patterns of formation of the droplets, the brown droplets.
I took off. You would get in trouble for that. That's just, like, gross. You're not supposed to do that on our beautiful pavement that restricts the ground from breathing.
When
someone suggested to me that we put Mentos in our Coca-Cola and drink it fast, and this would cure my problem. But it was awful. I don't know that those things explode. It's very uncomfortable.
Poop.
Well, speaking of which. When I was studying the New Age phenomena in Bonn,
I love the smell of trash.
I found that
greasy.
That one of my colleagues
Dunkin' Donuts coffee, all
was,
coffee
was
wrong. Coffee's good for you, though.
He used to chew tobacco, and he would spit it into these little Dr. Pepper bottles and leave the residue lying around, and. I would find these bottles of presumably Dr. Pepper, and boy, that was gross. So Robert, you chew chewing tobacco?
Yeah, all the time. Big fat lips of it.
Big lips?
Yeah, big fat lips.
And it's good?
Yeah, real good.
But you have to spit.
Yes. Like in professional baseball.
But you can't swallow it.
You can't swallow anything unless you're a girl.
Well, they say that chewing tobacco, the nicotine creates the theta waves, which is why the baseball players are able to concentrate while they're pitching.
But cocaine would have a similar effect.
Oh, yes. But it would show up quicker in a blood test, and they might be disqualified.
Oh, shoot.
So cocaine is not a permitted drug in organized sports?
Well, some of the football players put it on their testicles. It gives them a little pick-me-up.
It's like a cup of coffee in the morning.
That's right. Like a big cup of coffee.
Well, of course, there is a well-known... medical view that one method for curing certain forms of cancer might involve a coffee enema.
Oh.
But I believe the coffee has to be made with a French press.
Oh, you know, it would be just lovely if in the morning you could go into Starbucks and get a coffee enema.
Hey, man, I'd do it. You want to give me money to do that? I'll do anything. Hey, I'd even swallow.
Not
as fun as passing cans. Boys.
Well, now, a caller...
What do you want to do for work?
Yes.
Is the coffee hot? Because I think people have been sued for attempted coffee enemas with boiling coffee.
Well, that's really how you get the maximum effect, I'm sure. But, Starbucks could have the Grande and the Venti, and then the Picanha. What's the small Starbucks coffee called?
Get the same thing as Dunkin' Donuts.
It's the short, actually, and it's a little known secret that it's not advertised at Starbucks, but if you ask for a short, they will give you one, and it's less expensive than the tall.
The advertised sizes are the...
Tall.
The tall, the large, and the jumbo.
And the super-sized.
The super-sized.
It would be so convenient for a working professor like myself to just go into Starbucks and just get hooked. It would just put everything in perspective for me physically.
Yeah, being addicted to something is actually a good way to not be lazy.
Well, addiction can clarify our thought processes and let us realize our dependence, because of course none of us are truly independent beings, but we are part of this universal circle, and increasing our vices and our addictions can help us understand our interdependence.
Yeah, every chemical makes the body react differently, every food makes the body react differently, and every job that you could ever dream of being a part of is all influenced probably by chemicals or your upbringing, chemicals, like,
well,
all that stuff.
Callers, unfortunately, one of the side effects of chemicals and chemistry is the perceived passage of time, and we perceive that time has unfortunately passed.
Very quickly, is it possible to get a mocha coffee enema?
All things are possible, callers. We'd like to thank you so much for calling and being with us on the air. And thanks again to Professor Levine, and particularly our earlier callers and Aurora.
Well, of course, it was a deep, deep, deep pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Our pleasure was also very deep. And my salama from me and Dr. Janis Sakran, here with Music for Humans on every Friday at 7 p.m. here on 88.1 WMBR MBR FM in Cambridge, the leftmost station on your dial. Stay tuned for Hidden Gems in Plain Sight. Ma'a salama.